Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Always great to be joined by my good friend and commentator, Jim Barrier.
Hi, Bob. That was a short introduction. Call me up.
Well, I didn't use my opening monologue. I figured you're going to be so profound that who needs an opening monologue from me?
Well, you're confusing the word profound with loquacious.
Now, don't disappoint us, Jim. We got a high bar for you.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, so I appreciate that. And there's just stuff, some of it's hot off the presses. But I want to start with just celebrating President Biden's first 207 days in office. And so far, here's what he's accomplished.
It's been wonderful. Well, he's almost destroyed the country. Not quite yet, but he's getting there.
Well, you know, there was so much rhetoric before the election that in 47 years, he didn't do anything. Well, he's making up for it big time. So let me just hit a few things here. Let's start with
That he's still not doing anything. The people pulling his strings are doing the things.
So in the economy, in his term of 207 days so far, the producer price index measures the average changes in prices by domestic producers. That has risen 7.8% in the past 12 months, the highest in over 10 years. Consumer prices rose 5.4% in 12 months. Inflation is 5.37% compared to 1.23% a year ago. The national, you're going to love this one because I know where you live. The national average price per gallon for gasoline is $3.18, which is pretty low compared to California where you live, where it's a dollar more. It's actually $4.39 in California. Where I live in Texas, it's only $2.38. But a year ago, from $3.18 now, a year ago it was $2.18. So gas prices have gone up a dollar a gallon nationally. Let's move to the border.
I was going to say, if all those things you just listed, horrible as they are, if that was all the guy had done, that's nothing compared to the border and these vaccine passports race theory. I could just go on and on.
There's more. The border. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said this: if our borders are the first line of defense, we're going to lose. This is unsustainable. 212,672 migrants were encountered at the southern border in July, 1 month. That's a 13% increase over the already massive 188,000 in June.
You know what, Jim? Honestly, I wouldn't worry about it. Once the Chinese take over, they'll know how to secure the border.
Well, you know, I have lobbied for years to settle the debt. The score with China is just they can have your state, California, and we'll call everything even. But I don't know that that's going to happen. They'll take the whole thing.
Well, when they have somebody like Biden running all the states, why settle for just California?
Yeah. So here we have over 200,000 crossing the border just July, last month. A year ago in July, there was only 40,000. It jumped from 40,000 to 200,000. This is happening today on our abroad agenda. And what the administration is doing in foreign affairs. The Taliban has taken over the presidential palace in Afghanistan, Bagram Air Base, along with an awful lot of high-tech weaponry that we left there. The Taliban now controls at least two-thirds of Afghanistan. Thousands of Afghani citizens have fled their homes, and the U.S. Embassy lowered the American flag. This has got to be a very, very dark time for this country. There are other nations that don't like us are talking about how dark this is and how depressing it is and how embarrassing it is.
Well, darn that President Trump. I'm madder than ever now because, you know, if it wasn't for Trump, we wouldn't be having any of these problems, Jim.
It's all his fault. We know that. And in a sense, it is his fault if you want to follow this rabbit trail down the hole. If he hadn't gone and lost the election, doggone it.
Oh, you mean if he hadn't doggone it, had the election stolen from him?
Look, if they stole it fair and square.
Yes.
I start saying that the day after. Yep, Biden stole the election.
I'm telling you, you give them a year or so, and they're going to be bragging that they stole it. They're going to be wearing it as a badge of honor. Just you wait.
And they say, we did it before, and we can do it again.
They call it a lie today. They revel in it tomorrow. That's always been their pattern.
So anyway, President Joe, in just a little over 200 days, less than two-thirds of the year, that's what your administration has accomplished. And we haven't even got to the infrastructure bill, which I want to talk about tonight.
But you know what's really amazing is that with all these accomplishments, Joe doesn't even know he did anything. That makes it even more fantastic.
Well, you could tell him, but he'd forget tomorrow. Man, oh, man. I'm joking. I'm trying to be funny, but, you know, I've learned that from some comedians and people that the way you deal with pain is to use humor. It's not that funny, though. This guy's a tragedy, and what's happening to, I'm going to say this, my country.
Yeah, the unfunny part of it is he is destroying the country.
Yeah, and I didn't think he could do it so fast, but I underestimated the dark side. And as you said, you briefly alluded to it. He's really not acting alone. Someone's pulling the strings. He's not smart enough to get in this much trouble. You know, 47 years he didn't do anything. He's just been the, you know, for years I used to love it. You would have the Joe Biden moment. You'd play the theme from Otis.
Yeah.
From Superman.
Superman. We played the Otis theme. Yep.
Yeah. Right. Because we knew that the guy really didn't have a lot on the ball. And so all of these things that are going on, it's hard. It's impossible for me to think that there are not forces behind this, people who have an agenda. And there are people who have been vocal. There are people who want to take America down. There are people who hate America. There are elected officials in Washington, D.C. who hate America. I don't understand that. But they've been voted into office and they badmouth this country. They talk about what a terrible place it is. And once they take complete control,
they will see to it that nobody badmouths them or their version of the country.
Yeah. So on the one hand, I don't think that Joe is totally responsible, but he is the president of the United States, and he does have a responsibility to protect this nation, to protect the Constitution, to uphold the Constitution, all of those things that he put his hand on.
I don't think he could protect a bowl of Jell-O if it was sitting in front of him.
Nevertheless, it is incumbent upon his office to protect this nation. And so in that respect, I lay full charge at his feet and say he is the one responsible for these things because he hasn't done a darn thing to stop any of it. I'm a little worked up, Bob.
I wish more people would get worked up. And I have some bad news for you, Jim, because we're talking about Joe's aptitude. And I know you're an intelligent person. You have a Master of Arts or Master of Divinity degree, don't you?
I do not have a Master of Divinity degree, but I do have a degree in theology.
Oh, okay.
So what's the bad news?
Oh, well, I was going to tell you that if you had a master's degree, it was bad news because to use the word masters in any context now is considered racist. I actually heard that.
Yeah.
You think I was making that up and sending it into the Babylon Bee. They're now claiming in Oregon, God, and the governor signed this thing that to do proficiency tests in reading and writing is showing racism toward people of color. They specifically named Hispanic, African Americans, and indigenous peoples. If that isn't the most racist thing, to look at all these people groups and tell us that we can't give them proficiency tests because they're not up for it. And then when we talk about even degrees such as masters, or it was put actually in the context of to tell them they need to master another subject is racist because you're using the word master.
So do I? I can no longer refer to the place I sleep as the master bedroom.
Probably not. Probably not.
That's racist.
Well, this shouldn't surprise us. They have said that brochures that advertise homes with an ocean view are showing insensitivity to blind people. These are the times we live in.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been going on for a while, but it has reached fever pitch, and it's just absurd. And what bothers me the most is there are apparently enough people in America out there that buy into this stuff, and they don't see through it. And I have friends, loved ones with lots of education, or at least they have degrees, master's degrees. Oh, I can't wait to use it. but they buy into this stuff. And I think, how can you be on the one hand so learned and on the other hand so ignorant?
Still brag about a doctorate, maybe a bachelor's, but then bachelor's sounds kind of male. They're not calling it the bachelorette's degree. So I don't know. Probably degrees of any sort will just be racist, except for those degrees that are high degrees of warmth telling us we're going through global warming. Those kinds of degrees, it'll be okay to talk about.
Oh, don't bring that up, Bob. Not in my notes. And I'll go on a rant here. I think that the whole program tonight is going to be a rant.
That's all right. We could use a rant or two these days.
Oh, my goodness. And then there's the other, you know, concerning President Biden, to muster up as much respect as I can for the office that he holds. I have felt from the start that he would not serve 4 years. He would not finish out his term. And I still feel that way. When they get everything done that they want, they'll discard him like they have the governor of New York. We'll talk about him later. And they'll say, thanks a lot, Joe, and now we're done with you. And they'll use the 25th Amendment or whichever one it is. Or they'll just declare that he's incompetent or unable.
It'll be fine. He'll never know he was removed from office because he'll never know that he was in office. So it's not really going to matter at the end of the day.
And I just wanted to add, before we move off the issue of the president, I would like to predict, just in case it's necessary, that Joe Biden did not hang himself. Just in case it ever comes to that. I'll probably get arrested.
All they've got to do is tell Joe that his term is over and he'll just step down. Yeah. He will do whatever they tell him to do.
They send him back to the basement. Now,
but, you know, he was such a weak-kneed politician even before he lost his mind. He would have done whatever they told him to anyway. That's the real irony here.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, there was a president that I really did like many years ago. President Ronald Reagan. I always called him Uncle Ron because I just, you know, I kind of... I always pictured him in the Uncle Sam costume with the red, white, and blue hat. Uncle Ron, Ronald Reagan, I think he was a pretty good president. I say that because I agreed with him on so many issues, and I'd read his books even before he was president. I loved his politics, his philosophy, and just his view of how things should be in America. He loved America. And there were two things that he pushed for 8 years. One was term limits, which still hasn't happened and probably won't happen now. Term limitation for all elected officials would fix an awful lot of problems, awful lot of problems. But he pushed for that, never got it. And then another thing that he asked for was line item veto. And the reason is that there is so much pork stuffed into these bills when they take them to the floor. For instance, the recent 2,700-page $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill.
Yeah, and if people don't go along with the pork, they're going to go, well, you believe in roads and bridges, don't you? That's how they get these things passed.
Yeah, we got to read it to find out what's in it.
Exactly.
Was that Nancy? Did Nancy say that?
That was Nancy. It's like a Tootsie Roll Pop. Crunchy on the outside, and you've got to figure out what the chewy center's made out of.
Yeah. So you know about this infrastructure bill. Now, one of the people that I have just recently become familiar with just because of this thing, Missouri Representative, Republican Senator, Josh Hawley, called the infrastructure package a woke leftist bill full of left-wing politics. So he said the bill was wasteful as it allocated money for building highways in Canada. What? and supported critical race theory, one of my favorite things.
Yeah, now, here's the question. What does critical race theory have to do with building roads and bridges?
Nothing. Nothing. The bill also classifies women working in the transportation industry as socially and economically disadvantaged. It states that women and racial minorities are kept out of federally assisted transportation market due to discrimination. This is all in the infrastructure package. Hawley said, I just voted no on the first installment of Joe Biden's massive left-wing agenda, no to gender identity mandates, no to the Green New Deal, no to critical race theory and its racially equity mandates, no to discriminating the energy sector.
Now, I had heard that Senator Tom Cotton got an amendment passed in the Senate that took the critical race theory stuff out of it. Had you heard that?
Well, I did not hear that, but that's just one little teeny part. That's one little thing, and it should be taken out. It shouldn't have been in there in the first place. What does that have to do with infrastructure? So all of this stuff, they just pack it with all of these things that are part of the agenda.
Well, they used to do that in the past with military spending bills because they could put in any leftist garbage they wanted, and they knew that the Republicans would go along with it because no Republican wants to go home and tell their constituents that they didn't vote to support the troops. So they use these things as Trojan horses to get all this pork through.
You know, and that's probably the most troubling thing for me is that Republicans did not stand en masse and solidarity and say, we are not going to go with you on this. So many of the rhinos, we call them, just go along with the program.
Yeah, I don't care what kind of roads and bridges we have. If we put all this poison into our country, we're no longer going to be the United States of America. Same with bills that are supporting the troops. What the heck are the troops defending if we're losing all of our freedoms to give the troops money? It's insane.
Well, they're withdrawing all the troops at this moment. I'm going to go on another rabbit trail here. You got me worked up here tonight, Bob.
Back to Taliban now.
I spent 18 years working directly, face-to-face, with homeless people in the inner city in San Antonio, Texas. And it was troubling to me week in and week out how many of the discards, social discards of our country were veterans who served this country. And they're left without benefits. They're left without care. They're just kind of kicked off the bus. And it was very troubling to me. Now, I know that there are some veterans that have survived and been able to make a life for themselves, but it's disturbing to me the number of people in the homeless population who are veterans that served this country, put their life on the line unselfishly, and have nothing or little to show for it. And that just ticks me off, Bob.
So, well, it should.
We need to do more for veterans and for the military, but it isn't happening. But we are going to, this bill is going to help build highways in Canada.
That's like a few years ago. Remember, they were protesting us building a wall, but they were paying for a wall in Tunisia. I would say, what's up with that? But I already know the answer to the question. The people in power don't really care about serving their constituents. It's the people of power only care about power and only care about staying in power
and keeping their power. And there's so many things like this. Okay, so you shut down the pipeline in this country, but then you approve the one in Russia. Is there some kind of double standard? And then we approve money to support abortions in foreign countries. Abortion is wrong in the first place, but why in the world are American tax dollars going to provide abortions in Mexico? I'm worked up tonight, Bob.
You'd think the Democrats would have figured out that the less abortions in Mexico, the more people from Mexico can steal across the border. I guess they haven't made that psychic connection yet.
Yeah, they're not real good with that type of thinking. But nevertheless, those are the kind of things that we're spending tax dollars on that don't benefit this country at all. And in fact, in many cases, they hurt our country. And it's just frustrating. Now, let's get back to the infrastructure bill and get to where the rubber meets the road.
Very good, Jim. I get it.
I know. Well, Brandon's probably got one back.
There we go.
Okay. You might have heard about this already, but the bill would institute a multi-year national motor vehicle per mile user fee pilot program, which they already have that in some states. This proposal would test the design, acceptance, and implementation and financial sustainability of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee, or tax.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. So this bill includes $10 million a year from 2022 to 2026.
So what, they're going to rig our cars with things that monitor our mileage and then tax us for how much we drive?
Here's how it works. This is in
UK. Oh, bless their hearts.
I looked the thing up, and it's just frustrating, page after page after page, and it's to try to weed through this stuff. But this is what it says. According to the language of the legislation, the scheme's objectives are to test the design, acceptance, implementation, financial sustainability of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee. I said that. To address the need for additional revenue. I'm laughing because it's so ludicrous. For surface transportation infrastructure, there's the word, it actually appears in the bill, and a national motor vehicle per mile user fee.
And how many of our rhino Republicans have gone along with this slop?
Enough of them to get it passed. And to provide recommendations relating to the adoption and implementation of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee.
That'll keep us all safe.
Here's some possible methods that they will use, because you're wondering how they're going to know how many miles I drive. Well, this is in the bill. Third-party onboard diagnostic services. Think OnStar, for instance. Smartphone applications. Think Siri, for instance. This is a good one. Telemetric data collected by automakers. They want to start putting that's a tracking device is what that means. And they want to start putting those in all cars so that they can implement this strategy.
Yeah, that way if you go to a Tea Party rally or something, they know exactly where you've been.
Yeah, well, they're doing it so that they can see how many miles you drive and tax you on it.
But they also want to know where we've been and what we've been up to. They're not going to just stop. If taxing was all they did, I would hate it, but I couldn't live with it. That's just the beginning for them. These weasels, there's nothing they will not try to do to control our lives.
Nothing. There's no limit. Okay, data obtained by car insurance companies. My insurance, I have to tell them how many miles I expect to drive each year. If it goes over that, they'll raise my premium. Data from states that received a grant under Section 6020 of the FAST Act, whatever that is. Data obtained from fueling stations, really. And this is the line. Any other method that the secretary, that would be your Pete Buttigieg right now, that the secretary considers appropriate. So how about service records from your mechanic or the car dealer where you have your car service? How about toll road checkpoints? You know, you have one of those little stickers in your window so you can drive in the toll roads. They could use that.
You know, we need to start going to some of the big business and tech companies. We need to come up with alternative companies and just say to Apple or whoever, you have lost our business if you're going to do this. There's got to be a way to do that.
It would take people with guts, first of all.
Yeah, and they are in short supply, but we do have some. Yeah, you've got guts, Jim. We'll sign you up for this.
Sign me up. Now, personally, I just have to say this for the record. I'm not comfortable allowing Pete Buttigieg any method he deems appropriate, period.
I get it. Sorry. Oh, boy. The letters are going to fly in for that one. The letters are going to fly in for that one, yep.
Oh, boy. But, you know, this is serious. They're going to do this stuff. They have now they have the authority, and they can track you how many miles you drive. And here is why. This is in the bill, in the infrastructure bill. Section 13001 states that an objective will be to conduct public education and outreach to increase public awareness regarding the need for user-based alternative revenue mechanisms. In other words, this is a translation. Taxpayer dollars used to lecture drivers on why they need to pay more taxes.
Well, they really want to discourage driving in California because they know that our vehicles are our way out of the state. So they're highly motivated to keep us from driving. They know it's our escape route. You know, there's a great play called Anne of the Thousand Days. They made a movie out of it starring Richard Burton.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the reign of King Henry VIII. And there's a place where Sir Thomas More talks to Henry's legal advisor. He says, "Never tell the king what he can do. Always tell the king what he should do." I found that very profound because, Jim, when people are in power, anything that they know they can do, they will do. And we're seeing it with all this COVID stuff.
Yeah, and I don't imagine, I do imagine that there are people who think, I wonder what we can get away with. How far can we push this?
And as long as nobody pushes back, there's no limit. There's no limit. So we've got to answer that question and say, no, you can't keep doing this. We are going to push back. We need enough people to do this.
Well, where is the voice? I know there's a couple of people that are out there.
Not nearly enough.
Senator Hawley.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the politicians. I think the actual populace itself needs to just push back. But see, even saying that today, you could get marked as a traitor. Heck, if they could arrest every single person that voted for Donald Trump, or at least every single person that called the election a fraud, I'll call it a fraud. Here I am, Lord, send me. It's a fraud. But if they could arrest every person saying that, they will. It's already enough to get you kicked off YouTube, but if they could throw you in jail, they will.
Yeah. They're already calling people who...
traitors, seditionists, yeah.
They're calling them, they're saying they're terrorists.
Yeah, and yet they did nothing but claim that Trump's victory was a fake and a fraud for 4 years that Trump was in office. Here it is, 6 months, 8 months out, and they're calling us seditionists for talking about it.
My, how quickly it turns. And once again, I'm just going to refer back to a book I read in high school called...
Animal Farm.
George Orwell. And I'll tell you,
this was Stump
there.
Bob Siegel. What book is Jim going to say? It's going to be Animal Farm. I got
Animal
it. When did I win?
I'm going to do that until every listener borrows, buys, or...
Folks, would you just go read the blasted book already so Jim doesn't have to bring it up every time he's...
Thank you. No, but it reminded me of a quote Christian writer Steve Turner said, "History repeats itself. It has to because no one listens."
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.